Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. It is National Tell-A-Lie Day, Tony. So do you ever lie?
Tony Kornheiser, only to the IRS. You know, that's not even true. I have had the same accountant since we were in college together. It's a very, very long time.
Oh, wow.
And I tell him the same thing every year. It's always the same. It's five words. Keep me out of jail. That's all. Like, let's not fool around here. Keep me out of jail. Let's do this honestly. And I've been doing it honestly, to my knowledge, for a long time. Don't fool around.
To your knowledge.
Kids.
Is an important phrase
there. Don't fool around with the IRS. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Will Vaughn, again, apparently has better things to do. So I am joined by our great friend, the host of the podcast, Pablo Torre, finds out, Mr. Pablo Torre. And we begin today with developments in the Eastern Conference of the NBA. The Knicks announced they have lost Julius Randle to that shoulder injury for the rest of the season, including the playoffs. The Bucks lost again to a terrible team, this time the Grizzlies, following their loss to the Wizards. The Orlando Magic are now just two games behind Milwaukee for the two seed after beating New Orleans. And the Sixers play tonight at Miami, one team they have to jump to escape the play-in. So, Pablo, where do you want to start?
Yeah, I have to start in the city I'm in, Tony. I got to start with the Knicks. I'm going to try to make this not sound like a eulogy for this team, because this team is really good. This team has Jalen Brunson, and he is so much better than I ever dreamed. He could carry a team on a run, almost NCAA tournament style, potentially. That's how good he is. But the way this team played when they had him and OG Anunoby and Julius Randle was to the tune of best defense in the league. They were 12-2 when those three guys played together. So that team was a contender. This team now feels like an underdog that has a shot. And for a Knicks team that has been dreaming, Tony, of contention and not just a roll of the dice, I feel like you got to start there today, don't you?
Yeah, I'm glad you took a long time to talk about the Knicks, because I'm going to be brief with the Knicks. They're done. They're not winning anything without Julius Randle. And I'm going to be brief with Orlando. Two games out of the two seed? What? I can only name two players on Orlando, Banchero and one of the Wagners. And I can't name the coach, who, by the way, ought to be coach of the year if they're two games out of the two seed. Milwaukee interests me because they're going down the bowl right now. And I don't understand this because they've got a real squad. But since Doc Rivers got there, this thing is actually disintegrating. I believe I'm right that when they fired the last coach, Adrian Griffin, they were 30-13. 30-13. Then Doc took over about four games later, and now they're 15-15 since. And they've lost to terrible teams lately. I understand Damian Lillard's out, and I understand they're 1-7 without Damian Lillard. But the combined record of the Wizards and the Grizzlies, they're 71 games under 500. So that's ridiculous. And you know, then what is left to us is Philadelphia in Miami, and Miami, as I know you will agree, is always better than their record. And I told you the other day about Philadelphia. Don't tell me what Embiid just did. Tell me about the next game. This is the next game. He's questionable to play. If they lose this game, they go down 2.5 behind Miami with 5 to play. They lose the tiebreaker, so they're really down 3. They have to win this game.
No, Tony, it's funny. The Miami Heat are the sort of team where you can give me any sort of injury update. Jimmy Butler, for instance, is banged up right now, and I don't care. I have such a body of work with them, just them being a totally different, better team in the playoffs, that I'm not worried. But the Magic, shocking. Jamal Mosley, the coach that you referenced, a shockingly good job. Markelle Fultz is over there, also shocking. But expectation-wise, Doc Rivers essentially saying to everybody in the Milwaukee Bucks organization that everyone is underperforming, the bus driver, the suitcase guys, everybody who has a job in Milwaukee is underperforming. It's just one of those questions where, hey, Doc, at some point, you're going to have to take responsibility. And if they flame out with all of the talent, with Damian bleeping Lillard, Tony, and Giannis in the postseason, it's going to be his responsibility, whether he wants to blame the bus driver that he just drove a bus over or not. But we should move to Louisiana, I suppose, because they've moved to ban prop bets on individual college athletes because the state will prohibit the practice as of August 1st. Now, many players have complained that disappointed bettors harass them when stats end up on the wrong sides of over-unders, for example. And the NCAA is worried that such betting could impact the integrity of games. Louisiana would be the 10th state to totally ban the practice. So, Tony, should all states follow Louisiana's suit?
So let's be very clear on this. We are not talking about betting on a team to win or to win by a certain amount of points. We are talking about very specific acts by very specific players that we're betting on. Maybe it's total points, maybe it's total rebounds, maybe it's made threes, but they are very targeted bets for very specific players. And if you ask me where that ranks on the good to evil scale, I will tell you it ranks very close to evil. It does not surprise me at all that players are complaining that they're being targeted maliciously on social media because someone lost a bet because of them. I honestly wonder if there's a potential for violence here. In golf, it's happened recently. A guy misses a putt, so a bettor, you know, the bettor doesn't win on what his actual score will be, and people start screaming about this. Basketball players complain the same way. And Pablo, I specifically use golf and basketball because unlike football and baseball, where you're in a big stadium and you're separated physically from the players, in golf, you're right there. And if you have a courtside seat for an NBA game, you're right there. You're two
you're
feet away. And I worry that you know, behaving in an uncivil manner is one thing on the internet, but I sort of worry about somebody getting chesty and there's an act of violence that occurs here. I am really against these sorts of bets.
Yeah, I want to take this from the perspective of integrity as opposed to the violence. The violence that you warn against is a valid warning, a call to alarm, which I totally understand. But I want to point out that, look, gambling in sports being legalized is why prop bets now exist. When this was illegal, bookmakers, you didn't have hyper-specific bets about Jontay Porter, for instance. That was the story. Here's a bench warmer, a G League guy, coming into the game and basically be able to tank his own value, allegedly, and therefore cause repercussions financially. That's new. And so for me, the big picture question and solution here is, because I believe gambling, sports betting, should be legalized. I do. The question is, can we federally legalize it and then federally regulate it? Because I'm with you in terms of this. The prop bets are where vulnerable populations, and I say vulnerable in terms of integrity, college kids, G League players, guys for whom a financial pop based on a bet on their specific performance 100%. In a game may now be incentivized. That's the new part.
You're 100% correct. If you're on a college team and a few guys are getting NIL money and you're not, and you think you can go out there, in essence, what Jontay Porter is accused of is, you know, influencing the game in order to make a prop bet come true. I can see that happening all over the place. I'm not opposed to gambling. I am opposed to this. I'm opposed to this just as you are. Let's move to the best story of the day, the burgeoning appearance of sweat stains on these new baseball uniforms. The stains have particularly shown up in the road gray uniforms. And if players are getting sweat stains in early April, can you imagine what they'll look like in Kansas City in July? So Pablo, sweat stains, big deal, little deal, no deal.
This is a big deal, Tony. And I have to disclose, of course, I work with Dan Le Batard now, so I know what a sweat stain means and looks like. This stuff is Le Batardian. Yes. This stuff is how did you not notice this before? And so look, the parties to blame here are Nike foremost and Fanatics, right? So they're in some manufacturing dynamic, but Nike seems to be the one now answering the questions because it was their call in the end. So I want to address this from this perspective. This makes your game, your sport, look cheap. It makes it look like you don't know what you're doing. Tony, I come to this show and I wear a tie because you have told me that I need to look like an adult. If I showed up here with a Fanatics uniform covered in sweat, you'd say, why is this man here doing this job alongside the rest of the grown-ups?
Yes, I am so glad you mentioned Le Batard, because for people who don't understand this, by the second inning of a game in Miami in July, he would look like the Mississippi River. he would have to change jerseys between pitches. Now, there is also some complaint that the jersey, the color of the jersey does not match the color of the pants. But I would tell you it's possibly because they have sweated through these things so much that when they get out of the dryer, they are actually a different color. As we know, the players hated these uniforms from the moment they got them. They hated the small numbers. They hated the small names. They hated the lack of tailoring.
All of it.
You know, they hated the cheap feel. They hated all of these things. And now if they sweat like this, they're going to look like polka dots when they play. I love this story. I hope it persists the entire season. And I completely understand it. When Nike says, what is Nike's exact words?
Oh, it's great.
We're testing these uniforms. Testing these uniforms. Here's how you should test them. By throwing them in the garbage. They're, as Wilbon would say, hocus pocus junk.
So the rest of that quote from Nike, I want to continue it, Tony, because they're not just testing these uniforms. They're testing, quote, different options to lessen, and this is a great euphemism, the moisture-related aesthetic color differences, end quote. I just want to know how many people got paid to come up with that sort of a spin job. It's sweat. It's gross. The aesthetic difference is that it looks insane that you agreed to wear this.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. That's a good story. Coming up, the Devils and Rangers make a priority out of something other than hockey.
And what's the word for the 50 points that Malachi Flynn put up last night?
I love Levitard dearly, but he is a human rainforest. I mean, it's just, he's soaking at all times.
If only the canopy provided any protection, but no, the canopy down to the forest floor, it's just wet.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Okay, pray for me because it's time to face the dawn of lexicon in What's the Word. What's first?
Last night's 10-man fight between the Devils and Rangers was blank.
My word is predictable. Here's what happened. They dropped the puck and all the skaters start to fight. All 10 skaters start to fight. And the backstory is that the last time that the Devils and the Rangers played, the Rangers' Matt Rempe and the Devils' Curtis McDermott, I hope I get these names correct, they got in a fight because Rempe hit some other guy. Rempe is apparently causing every single fight in the NHL at this point. This is predictable because of the code of honor among hockey players. They can't let what happened before go without a certain amount of revenge. You could have booked this the day after the last fight. It was choreographed. People knew who they were going to fight when this thing happened. This is sort of like if I go to a golf course and the starter puts me out with a foursome, before we hit the tee balls, everybody punches everybody else in the head. It's insane.
Look, I am not scandalized by the fight. I'm amused by the fight. The choreography is obvious. You see it happen instantly. And even post-game, what's so funny in the retrospect, of course, is that the two guys who started the fight were the ones who were not ejected. Pretty much everybody else was, but the two guys, according to the code of honor that you mentioned, were allowed to stay. And so my word for this, because I feel like someone needs to say it about hockey, my word for this is thuggery. This is thuggery. How can we let hockey be the one sport that gets away with not being accused of all of the truly reprobate violence, Tony? When it's codified in the rules and it's almost cathartic, it seems, it's sanctioned, it seemed, for these guys to get into a melee. If this was basketball, Tony, there'd be an attorney general investigation. It's not, it's hockey, it's thuggery.
It's next.
It's blank that Malachi Flynn scored 50 last night.
Okay, my word is beyond me, because until this morning, I did not know who Malachi Flynn was. I did not know what team he played for. I am not certain I ever heard his name. Since then, I have found out that at one point he was the player of the year in the Mountain West at San Diego State. And please don't ask me to name all the other teams in the Mountain West. I have found out he was drafted by Toronto in 2020. I found out that he's bounced around the league, that now he's on his third team this year, that team is the Detroit Pistons, and he came off the bench last night, and he got 50 points on 18 for 25 shooting, which is great, and greater still because the most points he had all year prior to this was 17, but because he plays on the Pistons, they lost because they didn't play Milwaukee last night, and that's what I know
now. Yes, my word, Tony, is this was lucid dreamlike. I don't know if you've ever had a lucid dream, if you allow your brain to let you control the events in your slumber. You can control the world around you. I've had these dreams around, like to pretend like my parents are not mad at me for not going to med school. That's what I do in my lucid dreams. I also would allow myself to one day dream of scoring 50 points in an NBA game despite averaging about 5. No one has scored so many points while averaging so few. Malachi Flynn is an everyman who got for one night to live a dream that I'm not bold enough to imagine. What this guy did is something that I want to get this right, because the number of people who have 50-point games includes Malachi Flynn, the people who don't, okay? He has more 50-point games than Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Bill Russell, Scottie Pippen, Clyde Frazier, Kevin Garnett. That's Malachi Flynn's reality now, a lucid dream come true.
Yeah. Let me just say, your parents are right. You should have gone to medical school. That's the final word. Let's take one last break. Still to come, the A's opt to downsize their home field for the next 3 seasons.
And Mike Tyson has a training update ahead of his fight with Jake Paul.
Ugh. We'd both be doctors if you had gone to med school, because I am a doctor.
I know.
I am a doctor of humane letters. What are you? Nothing.
The white coat
Nothing.
Is very triggering. It's very triggering for me seeing the white coat.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Happy time, people. Happy 45th birthday, Roberto Luongo. The Hall of Fame goalie played 20 seasons in the NHL. He came up with the Islanders in 1999 after being the 4th overall pick in 1997. He was traded to the Florida Panthers in 2000, and he was with the Panthers until he was traded to Vancouver in 2007. Luongo was traded back to the Panthers in 2014. In between, he was a 5-time All-Star and got to the Stanley Cup Final in 2011, losing to Boston. At the time of his selection to the Hall of Fame in 2022, Bobby Lou was 4th all-time in wins with 489. He also holds the franchise records for wins and shutouts for both Florida and Vancouver. Additionally, Luongo has 2 gold medals in the 2010 and 2014 Olympics with Canada.
So I was doing some Bobby Lou research, Tony, because that was pretty comprehensive. And the factoid that I got, I don't even know if you know, which is that Roberto Luongo apparently once sat in the audience of the PTI studio to watch you do this show. I don't even know if you pay attention to such people, but he apparently was just there hanging out, not as a guest, but as a fan somehow. I don't know how you earned that, but you got Bobby Lou as a spectator. Yeah.
It's my great hockey knowledge that attracts all the Hall of Fame players. Happy anniversary, Lorenzo Charles. This is posthumous, but on this day 41 years ago, the North Carolina State forward grabbed Derek Wittenberg's last second shot and dunked it to win the NCAA championship over Houston. Everybody remembers this clip. Everybody remembers Charles putting the ball in the basket and Jimmy Valvano running around the court looking for someone to hug. Charles had only 4 points in the game, but these two will live forever. Now, for the first time in 41 years, the Wolfpack are back in the Final Four. Both the men's and women's teams have made it, as have Connecticut's. That state team of Charles Wittenberg, Cozell McQueen, Thurl Bailey, and Sidney Lowe upset Houston's feared five slam-a-jamma of Clyde Drexler and Akeem Olajuwon.
And Drexler in that game, just checking the stats here, also had just 4 points, which is wild to consider. But it's about the aesthetics, right? There's a storyline, of course, but ending the game on a dunk like that, that is something that you just can't, you can't manufacture a more poetic ending to something. So, yeah, that's why it lives in immortality as
well.
It's
great. Yeah. Happy trails to Oakland for the A's. While they wait for a new stadium in Las Vegas in 2028, they will move to a minor league park in Sacramento. Sutter Health Park, the home of the Sacramento River Cats, the Giants' AAA club, will be host to the A's and the major leagues in 2025, 2026, and 2027. This sets an end to 56 years in Oakland and four World Series championships there for the A's, who moved to Oakland from Kansas City in 1968. The Sacramento Park has 10,600 fixed seats and can hold 14,000 with lawn seating and standing room. Lawn seating, not much of that in Yankee Stadium, but for a team averaging 6,000 a game, 10 to 14,000 sounds like a crowd.
Yeah, they're also just calling them the Athletics and the A's, not even Sacramento, not Oakland anymore. Just an insult on top of the injury that we know was going to happen, them going to Vegas. It's just insulting on the way there.
Here we go to the big finish, Pablo. Marcus Mariota of the Washington team will be the first NFL quarterback to wear the number zero. What is your favorite number?
Oh, probably 420, but that doesn't really fit on a jersey. The Marlins say promising 20-year-old starter Yuri Perez will need Tommy John. He's out for the season. Your thoughts?
Marlins lost their first seven. They need pitching. Pitchers get hurt all the time. They must be doing something wrong. Mike Tyson told Sean Hannity that he's training, quote, around the clock for his exhibition fight against Jake Paul. You excited?
I'm excited for one day sentences like that to stop existing. The Royals and Orioles sat through a five-hour rain delay before Baltimore won in a walk-off. Would you have stuck around?
No, I wouldn't have gone in the first place. No, these old bones can't sit through rain delays. No. Last one, Warriors, Rockets, Nuggets, Clippers tonight. Which is the more intriguing game?
Draymond Green, our old friend, says that this is the Warriors' opportunity to end the Houston Rockets tonight. They're going to end them. So apparently that's what we have to look forward to. I'll choose
that. That's it. See you around, Houston Rockets. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Anthony Black, good luck with your Wolfpack teams.
Ooh, and I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you for watching. By the way, Red Panda should be a Hall of Famer. That's the episode of Pablo Torre Finds Out today. Vote for her. We have a petition. But for now, your Sports Center.
What does it mean, bowls? She goes bowling or she...
On her head.